Well, before we get into that, you know, as we look at the accounts from the scriptures of the Christmas story, you know, there's all kinds of ways God could have chosen to bring about the birth of Jesus. And we are so familiar with the story that there's certain details we overlook of how extraordinary it is. You know, God could have picked any time in history to have Jesus come to earth. He did not pick the most ideal by far. The ideal time would have been probably during the reign of King David or King Solomon, at the height of Israel's splendor. But he chose a time in history when Israel was under occupation from the Romans. This was not a great time for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who was born as a Jewish little boy, to be born. But that's when God chose it. And God chose unusual people. You know, there's all kinds of ways we disqualify ourselves for why God would use us. And one of the ways we do that is by age. You know, at a certain time in life, you say, well, I'm too young to be used by God in this way or that way. Well, who did God choose to carry the Christ child? It was Mary, who many think was as young as 14 or even younger. God chose the most unlikely people. He could have chosen a wealthy woman, but he didn't. He chose a lower class woman with no status, a teenager, to carry the Christ child. Another way, of course, and I think in our culture, this is particularly one we fall into, is at a certain age, we believe God's done using us. In our culture, we put people out to pasture pretty early. And I've talked before in Central Asia, when I was there with Charles Bauman and Lloyd Hoover, we realized, boy, the oldest person in the group was Charles, and was he ever honored? Our culture is so different. God chose Zechariah and Elizabeth, elderly people, the most unlikely people to be used in this story. And God said, you, who were thought to be childless, are going to have a child, John the Baptist, the prophet who's going to prepare the way. God is saying something loud and clear for the way this story comes about. You're never too young to be used by God. You're never too old to be used by God. And those of us in the middle age group, we find other ways to disqualify ourselves, don't we? Everybody has various reasons why they believe God could not use them. But the good news, and the gospel says this, the scriptures say this again and again and again and again. The people who most think they're unlikely to be used by God, God finds a way. Because it's the way of God. God loves to do miracles. And God wants to use every single one of us. There's not a single person in here who is beyond God's desire to use you in a significant way to bring about His purposes. Now, I've got this violin up here. You're wondering why that's there. That's a Stradivarius violin. A Stradivarius violin. I think one of the first times I ever heard of a Stradivarius violin, they're very valuable, incredibly valuable violins. I think they're Italian. And my father-in-law was, when Jennifer and I got engaged, he would take great delight. He thought he was so hilarious. As he was introducing me to people as his future son-in-law, he'd say, you know, this wedding, giving your daughter away, feels a lot like giving a Stradivarius violin to a gorilla. That's what he'd say to people. And he would tell all kinds of people that. He thought he was just hilarious. So, Andres, you've got a wedding coming up. Giving your daughter away, remember that one. But Stradivarius violins are so valuable. If you look on the internet, what do they cost? Thousands and thousands of dollars. Precious instrument. Imagine Jeff Martin, the auctioneer, they're getting ready for an auction, and they're going through someone's attic, and they find this old violin back in the corner, and it's been beaten, it's been abused, it's in the corner, and it's not got strings are off it. But Jeff Martin knows this is a Stradivarius violin. Right, Jeff? You'd recognize it. Sure you would. This is valuable. This is priceless. And you get this Stradivarius violin refurbished and restored, and now it is ready to glorify God with beautiful music. But as valuable and precious as that violin is, one thing is true of that violin. Inevitably, it will get out of tune. Because that's just what happens to violins. Even a Stradivarius violin will get out of tune. It's humidity, it's temperatures, it's just the reality of time goes by and strings stretch, and even in a perfect temperature and humidity, it just happens. Instruments get out of tune. You know, Jennifer, have you ever noticed when Jen and I lead worship together occasionally, who's tuning my guitar? It's Jen. I can't really do it. Just not something I'm able to do. You have to have the ear for it. But instruments, even the best instruments, are not worthy to be used unless they are in tune. And the point I want to make to you this morning, to us this morning, is that all of us are as precious and valuable as Stradivarius violins. But inevitably, we get out of tune, and before God can use us, we must undergo this regular process of being tuned. You know that lovely hymn that says, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Tune my heart. And I believe it needs to become the regular cry of our hearts. God, I'm out of tune again. My attitude is going south. God knows that's what we're, God knows we're flesh. But God is so eager to tune us. So eager to tune us. And I believe the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth is a profound story of how God saw Zechariah. There we go. And he knew he wanted to use Zechariah and Elizabeth for this incredible participation in God's story. Here they are, elderly people, and God's going to call them. Elizabeth, as an elderly woman, is going to become pregnant and bear this child, and it's going to just be an amazing thing. But God looks at Zechariah, and he recognizes that Zechariah is a violin that is out of tune. Now, to everybody else's appearances, it looks like Zechariah and Elizabeth, they are righteous and holy people, and Zechariah is called to the temple. It's his turn to offer the sacrifice. He's a religious person. By all appearances, he is tuned in to God. But when the angel appears to Zechariah in the temple, and appears to Zechariah and tells him this incredible news, you, Zechariah, Your wife is going to become pregnant in her old age, and you're going to have this baby that's going to have this incredible mission. And Zechariah is afraid, and I would be too. And Zechariah is shocked, and Zechariah's first response is, how can this be? Because, and Zechariah says it very politely, he says, I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Wise man, right? Notice how he words that. I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. He's a smart guy. But that's his response. And when I saw this picture, I said, that's it. That captures Zechariah. He's out of tune. He is not prepared for the work God has for him. And I believe perhaps God sees his response and says, whoa, you're way out. You're more out of tune than I realized you are. You need to be tuned. And how does God do it? Well, the angel announces to Zechariah, sometimes this feels kind of harsh. He says, you will be unable to speak until the time of this baby's birth. And so Zechariah goes mute. And I always think of this as some kind of punishment, but I'm convinced this is God's gift. Sometimes things happen to us and we really think, what have I done wrong to deserve this? When actually it's God's grace. So often we just do not recognize God's grace when it comes. Zechariah now has a choice. He's unable to speak. And he goes out of the temple, and the family sees him there, and he's motioning, and he can't talk, and they know he's seen a vision, but they don't know what's going on. And he goes into this 9-month period of silence. Imagine that. 9-month period of silence. Zechariah now has a choice, and this is the choice each and every one of us face all the time in life. Things happen to us that we don't control. Things get said to us that hurt us deeply, and you had no control that person was going to say that to you. Things happen to us. Health issues. You don't choose health issues that come your way. You don't choose issues in your family oftentimes. There's just things that happen to us that you don't choose, just like Zechariah did not choose to not be able to speak, but it happened to him. And we just assume that it was automatic that Zechariah entered into the silent time and allowed God to work in his heart. He could have very well rebelled and become bitter that he couldn't speak. But Zechariah chose to allow God to tune his heart, to adjust his attitude, to pour the power of and truth of God's shalom. We talked about shalom all summer. Remember that? Shalom is this incredible word for God's peace. That means it's God's well-being. It's being rightly related to other people. It's being rightly related to God. And it goes on and on, the beautiful descriptions of what shalom means. God pours shalom into Zechariah's heart during this period of silence. And Zechariah chooses to receive it. And the challenge I would have for each and every one of us, no matter what you're going through, will you choose the path of Zechariah, which is to allow God to work this shalom deep into your heart? You know, I don't know how to tune violins, but I do know how to, here's my language right here. Big part of my childhood was baseball, and I grew up in a baseball town, Mannheim, and I had some of the most wonderful coaches, and they taught me how to oil my baseball glove. Now this is 35 years old. It's not been oiled for a long time, but I would take that. I used to love to do this as a kid, is to work this oil into the hard leather of my baseball glove. Work it in, and it would soften it and allow it to be more flexible. That's how God works in our lives when we allow Him to work this shalom, God's peace, deep into our soul. But it's a decision to allow God to do this. In the same way, you know, you have an instrument, and you work. I think we got our piano tuned either this past week or the next week, but it happens regularly. Someone comes in and tunes this piano, because if it doesn't, trained ears recognize it. Linda Myers, she knows when that thing's out of tune. Others do as well. Will you allow God to tune your heart? And that's what happened to Zechariah. God tuned his heart to be in a place where God could use him. I want to share a number of ways, and we could name dozens of ways God tunes our heart so that we can be used by Him. All kinds of ways this happens. But the first thing I see in the story of Zechariah, and the challenge for all of us, is God calls our hearts to be nimble. Now, that word may not be one you were expecting. Nimble. Nimbleness of heart. What does nimble mean? It means being flexible. It means being ready, being alert, being attentive, being prepared for action in new ways. When I was younger, I was a lot more nimble than I am now. And some of you say, hang on, it gets better. You know, but here's the thing. It's inevitable that we become physically less nimble as we get older. I'm coming to terms with that reality. And many of you are as well. But in the way of the heart and our spirit, I believe that God's desire for us is that we become more nimble the older we get. And by that I mean more open to new ways God wants to work in our lives. Back to baseball. We were taught in Mannheim, Austin and I love to talk about Mannheim. When you're playing right field, the ball hardly ever gets hit there. But if you're playing right field, you posture yourself, you're ready. But what little kids do when they're first learning baseball and they're in right field and the ball's never coming, and they do this. That's why some kids give up on baseball. Right, Dean? Your kid stuck with it. Tate stuck with it. I got this all messed up anyway. But you know, it's human nature to not be ready, not be nimble. The ball never gets hit to me. I'm not ready. But no, we were taught to be ready. Softball players, right, Joy? To be ready for anything, even if the ball doesn't often get hit to right field. You are postured, you're nimble, you are ready. And I believe that as Christians, no matter how old we are, be ready for something new to happen. Zechariah and Elizabeth had never had a child, and they were convinced that that ship had sailed. It wasn't going to happen to them. I want to declare, now I'm not saying to you, some of you who, oh, you're going to have it, like we're going to have another baby. Now I'm not saying anything of that. So I'm speaking metaphorically here. I'm speaking metaphorically here. You're saying, thank the Lord. You know, some of us may say, I've never had the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But some of us may be saying to ourselves, I've always wanted to be a part of seeing someone come to know Jesus, but it's never happened to me. Maybe the ball never gets hit to me where I'm standing. Maybe it's just not what I'm meant to be. I'm not an evangelist, whatever it may be. I've always wondered what it's like to be a part of seeing someone come to know Jesus, but it won't happen to me. And I want to propose to you the possibility that this year, the ball might get hit to you. And I want to challenge you to be ready. You don't force things to happen, but there's an attentiveness of the Spirit, a nimbleness of the Spirit that I believe God is asking us to prepare our hearts, be ready for something that maybe never happened to you before. And you all knew I'd be talking about Vietnam all the time, but I got to just have one reference here. Traveling with Twin Win, and I have to have him here, you got to meet the guy. When you travel with someone and you spend a lot of time with someone, you see what gets them excited. And the thing that made Twin more excited than anything else was someone coming to know Jesus. And we sat there in this around this table after this evangelism service. We were sitting there eating the most awesome food in the world, chowing down, and all of a sudden, a woman with another woman comes up to our table, says something in Vietnamese we didn't understand. Twin jumps up from the table, rushes across to the other side, and begins talking excitedly to this woman and leads her in a prayer. I don't know Vietnamese, but I can recognize the sinner's prayer when I see it happening. Watch Twin jump from that table to lead this woman to Jesus. And I never saw anything make Twin quite so excited as that. And it makes me say, what does it mean for us to be nimble in our neighborhoods, in your workplaces, in your families, for the time where the ball gets hit your way? You never thought it was going to come to right field where you are, but here it comes. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to be nimble enough to take those opportunities that the Spirit of God gives to you to share the reason for the hope that you have? But here, right away, some of you are thinking, yeah, not me. No, I don't have the words to say. The ball came to you for a reason. And some of you are postured in places I can never go. You have access to people I don't have access to. That God has positioned you on purpose where you are to speak hope into that person's life. Because God has no limitations on who He will use. It's the grace of God. And we don't make this happen. It's a work of God's Spirit. Will you be nimble enough and alert enough? Will you allow God to tune your heart so that you can be alert for those opportunities when they come this year? There's great joy in that. It's my prayer, personally, for myself. Austin has been sharing, he shared last week, and both of you, Austin and Janelle, shared this week, about opportunities God is giving to you. The testimony of Austin and this friend coming to him and saying, I want to know more about Jesus. It's like the ball got hit to Austin, and Austin is declaring how he's fielding that ball and being faithful to the opportunity that God has placed before him. And I just invite us to share more of those stories about the way God opens up opportunities like that for us. The next thing I believe God does in tuning our heart, of the many things, is courage. God gives us courage. We live in a world that just conditions us to be afraid. And you know, I'm convinced that some of the most difficult ways to be courageous are not the really huge ways where someone says to you, are you a Christian? And if you say yes, you're going to prison. Perhaps those are easier than some of the other ways we fear, where we fear, what will people think? What will people say? If I sit in this restaurant and thank God for my food, there's someone I know from high school, what will they think? If I take this new step in my life that God's calling me to do, people are going to ridicule me because they don't think that's for me. Or if I share Jesus with this person, they're going to maybe think I'm ridiculous. It takes courage. And God has to speak courage. And I think during those 9 months, God spoke. One of the ways God tuned Zechariah's heart was giving him courage. Think about this. This might not seem like a big deal. God told Zechariah, when this baby's born, his name is to be John. John's a great name, right? Amen, John. It's a great name. But for them to name their son John was pretty crazy and unusual and just culturally absurd. There's no one named John in your family, Zechariah. Why would you name your baby John? Name him Zechariah. That's a great name. or some other family name. Now, it's hard for us in our culture to understand how that all worked. Names were a much bigger deal. What will people think if we name this baby John? But that's what God said. And I believe God had to work courage into Zachariah's heart and Elizabeth as well. That when that baby was born, they said, okay, we're going to name him Zachariah after his father. Because you know, Zachariah and Elizabeth, you're not going to get another chance at this. This is a one-time thing, this baby. So here's your chance to have a namesake. And Zachariah says, and Elizabeth says, no, his name is to be John. They said, well, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Ask Zachariah, pass him the tablet, let him write on it, what's his name going to be? And Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the courage of God that took 9 months to work into his heart, he writes on that tablet, his name shall be John. And at that moment, that step of courageous faith, the Lord opened up his lips. And he begins uttering by the Holy Spirit this beautiful song of Zechariah that Kathy read for us. This beautiful proclamation. He's not been able to speak for 9 months, and boy, does he let her out. And it is a word of God, a word of shalom, a word of power, a word from the Holy Spirit. And it's beautiful. And that's where I come to the next one here. I believe that God, one of the significant ways God always wants to tune our hearts is in the way of thanksgiving and gratitude. And one of the quickest ways that my heart gets out of tune is lack of gratitude. That I have this blessing in my life and that blessing in my life and I don't even see it. That's how my attitude gets out. Well, that's one of the ways my attitude gets out of whack. That's one of the ways I get out of tune. But listen to Zechariah, because his heart has been so tuned by God that he begins, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he has said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Now, he is speaking both prophetically and speaking to what has happened in the past. But he is giving thanks for all that God has done and all that God will do. And I believe that's the other way that God tunes our heart. God builds in us anticipation for the good things to come. God fills us with gratitude for what has happened, what God has done, and fills us with the anticipation for what God will do. And when my heart's out of tune, I don't do either of those. No, it's more of an Eeyore sounding voice. Oh, no, this is always happens. You know, no, it's a different voice. It's God has done great things and God will do great things in the future. I think about this. We always love being around children at Christmas. And my nephews are at that perfect age because they're age, 5 and 4. They remember what has happened in Christmases past. They remember. They remember the good things, the gifts, the surprises, the fun traditions that are being built into the family. And now they anticipate more of the same. And they come to Christmas, as you who have children of this age and grandchildren or whatever, delightfully anticipating what will happen. We lose some of that as we get older, don't we? And we look at little 4 and 5-year-olds and say, wow, that's where it's at. But that's the heart God is wanting each of us to have in life. Recognizing what God has done, and then anticipating what God will do. And I want to bring this to a conclusion by just bringing it back to this whole area of being silent. God gives Zechariah this gift of 9 months of not talking. It reminds me of when Tanner and I were in Vietnam and we're traveling along with our driver who didn't speak any English. You don't talk much. You just ride in silence. And there was something really freeing about that. I found myself 3-hour drive just praying to the Lord about all kinds of things. If he would have spoke English, we would have been chattering away. But it was a time to be quiet and just to be in the presence of God. But I believe that our world around us is noisier than ever, and it's not just actual literal noise. It's just, and I think a lot of you understand what I'm talking about, it's just how much noise is in our heads of so many things going on around us, and social media doesn't help, of course, that's another thing, but there's so many things in our lives and world that we're thinking about that there's a lot of noise up here that makes it very difficult to hear the voice of the Lord. I want you to imagine, I wish I had it up here, but imagine an old cassette recorder, an old cassette recorder that has a tape deck in it. Some of you, do you guys know what that is? You probably don't. Tape deck. Well, if you find one of these old ones, likely you put a tape in there and you'll turn the volume up the whole way and you'll hardly be able to hear it. Did you ever find one of those? You know, it's like, it's hardly working anymore, but you crank it up the whole way. You want to hear this thing and you can barely hear it. And then you really want to hear what it says. So then you listen around the room and there's a fan on. That's making noise. So you go over and you turn that fan off. And you still can't quite hear it. Oh, the air conditioning's on. I really want to hear this. Turn the air conditioning off. We'll be hot for a while, but I want to hear this. And then, the TV's on in the other room. You go turn the TV off. Because you really want to hear what this quiet voice is saying. And I believe the invitation to you and I in our lives is, if you want to hear the voice of the Lord is not in the habit of just getting louder so you can hear Him. It's up to us to be turning other things off intentionally so we can hear God speak. When I was an elementary school teacher 15 years ago, it used to be like this, I don't know if it still is, but the best way to get the attention of children who were just sometimes just off the walls was you would find a read-aloud book. I taught third grade, 8 and 9 year olds. Find a story they love that holds them in suspense. We'd come in from recess, and they're kind of all bonkers off the walls, and we'd sit in the chair, and I would try to get them quiet. And when I was a new teacher, I would begin reading, and I would just start reading loud and louder to try to speak over their chatter. And a teacher taught me, said, no, that's not how you do it. You get quieter. And so what I would do, and this always worked most times, at least it used to, you just get quieter. And they want to hear it. It drives them nuts. And after a while, they're shushing each other. Quiet down so we can hear what the story is going to say. And you'd have their attention. And I believe that's how God is in our lives. God is not raising His voice so you can hear. God's actually speaking quite quietly, but it's up to you to find ways to get quiet so you can hear the Lord's voice. That's how God tunes your heart. So I'm going to end with this challenge. Now, what I'm not going to do is something I read about, maybe next year I will. There was this pastor who, during Advent, when he preached about Zachariah and Elizabeth, he said, for the next week, I'm going to be quiet the whole week. Maybe next year. Had to think through that a little bit. Just read that last night. I want to challenge you this week to experiment with silence before God. Now, a lot of times when we come to our devotional time, even our devotional times can, especially if you're a type A personality, you bring that type A personality to your devotions. What am I going to get done today? How much am I going to read? I'm going to make sure I pray for this, this, and this, and there's a place for that. But sometimes God says, will you just sit in my presence? For some of you, 1 minute setting your alarm is going to be enough, but it's going to be a stretch. Some of you may want to try 5. Andres will try 5, right? 5 minutes. Some of you may want to try 20 minutes, maybe some an hour. Maybe some of you will take an entire day to experiment with silence before God. Things are going to come to your mind. Things you need to do. Well, offer that back to the Lord. Say, God, when I tackle that, give me strength. There's going to be things that make you feel guilty during this time. Confess it. God forgives. Experiment with silence and allow, if there's anything that you pray, let it be this. Tune my heart, Lord God. Tune my heart, Lord God. Tune my heart, Lord God. Or find your own cry to God in that silence for God to tune your heart so that you can do those things God is preparing for you to do. Experiment with it, and maybe next week we'll hear a few testimonies about that. Or feel free to email me or call me. I'd love to hear stories. I'll be experimenting myself and allowing God to tune my heart as you do the same. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks that you have plans for each and every one of us. And Lord, we confess how easily our hearts get out of tune. That's just what we're made of. But Lord God, we also thank you that you are so much more eager to tune our hearts than we could ever imagine. We can't do it to ourselves, but Lord God, you do it to us. And you put your oil of shalom into our hearts. You correct our attitudes. You help us again to be thankful. And you help us again to be joyfully anticipating the good things you're going to do, even though we don't know what that'll look like. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.